Quick heads up, I do full chart readings at iamastrologyreadings.com if you want to go deeper. All right, let's get to it.
Because you and I are astrologers, I thought I would share with you the chart of Chiron's discovery, because I always think that's fascinating. And so, like I said, Chiron was discovered at 3 degrees Taurus on November 1st, 1977, which means that on June 8th of 2027, Chiron will have done one full orbit that we've been watching, this asteroid comet, right? So we are almost at our Chiron return globally since Chiron was discovered. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm not going to dive further into the chart than that. It's not really my point today, but I did just want to show you that of course we have a chart of the discovery, the birth of Chiron in our understanding.
Well, the astrologer in me couldn't help but to start delineating what I was looking at. And I started finding it interesting that this would be a day birth, and Jupiter would be the chart ruler, and it's in a version next to the moon up there in the eighth house of death, occult, not transformation. Transformation.
And also big emotions, right? You've got a moon and Jupiter conjunction in Cancer. And so, you know, my experience of that when those two planets are together is deep feelings, like deep and you know, being in the eighth house, like you said, potentially tough, you know, deep rolling emotions, you know, fears and anxieties and griefs and losses and, you know, feeling everything big.
And the ruler of that moon in Jupiter is in actually a version to that as well. And it's together with two malefics together in the house of beliefs. Ninth.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you've Mars, got Mars, exactly. Mars and Saturn and Leo together in the ninth house. Mm-hmm.
And Leo, the ruler of Leo, sitting over there in the 12th.
Mm-hmm. Deep psychological stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
yes. And then Uranus and Mercury under the beams of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden. Hidden thought. And in Mercury, they say Uranus is a higher octave of Mercury.
That is common among modern astrologers, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you said that like that. That means you don't really buy into that?
I don't.
All right.
That hasn't been my experience of the two.
All right.
And I would say I'm generally not a big fan of the higher octave talk, because I feel like it doesn't accurately represent the modern planets as I've gotten to know them. I see Mercury as, you know, being about organization and categorizing and getting information. And that's not Uranus at all, in my view, right? Uranus is more about disruption and sudden insights. Like, there's nothing organized and logical about Uranus. Where I think they do share characteristics is they can both kind of have a trickster energy. So that I could see. But yeah, this is a fascinating chart for sure.
I know you really weren't trying to go there, but
I do think it's really cool that we are getting to the point of it's almost the Chiron return. And as I was telling you before we started, Chiron is actually just about to meet the North Node right now in Aries. And so in February of this year, 2024, on February 19th, Chiron is actually going to meet the North Node, which, again, modern and traditional astrology have different views of that, but both believe it's important that it means like that when something meets the North Node, like it's expanded, it's bigger, it takes, you know, it grabs your attention. So I thought that was fascinating. So besides the astronomy, the actual, you know, we talked about the fact that Chiron is a hybrid. And so it totally fits this notion of a centaur and that it connects Saturn and Uranus. I also find it interesting, and the way many astrologers, when there's a new body found, is they look at what's the astronomical features, you know, what's going on in history when Chiron's discovered, and then also the mythology. And so just a few things as a review for our listeners about what was going on in the late 1970s when Chiron was found.
All right.
It was really a height of the modern astrological movement, right? Astrology had become popular again, and it was considered to be the me decade when the baby boomers were kind of coming in their late teens and early 20s. And so there was this huge cultural focus on self-expression, finding personal fulfillment.
Is that when the Sun Sirens book came out?
It was sometime in the 70s. It might have been a little earlier than 77.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, it was about finding yourself. A lot of times people will call it the navel-gazing era.
All right.
There was a huge interest in Eastern philosophies and practices, like everyone had their own guru and transcendental meditation was really popular. Extrasensory perception and channeling. In fact, the military was conducting experiments in like remote viewing. Use of psychedelics was still really big, actually along with cocaine, right? Kind of went from the late 60s into the 70s. The whole field of psychiatry was really booming. And part of that did impact astrology because there was these new astrological techniques called transpersonal astrology and depth astrology that really focused on like your subconscious realm and family patterns as being ways to heal. There was also the very first organic food movements and movements towards like preserving the environment, because this was right after we had a real increase in oil prices under Jimmy Carter's presidency, right? And there was a time when there was like lines at the gas tanks, huge oil shortages. So there was a big effort about taking care of the environment and reducing our use on fossil fuels for the first time. Ongoing movements for social justice and sexual revolution. But along with that, there was this neoconservative backlash where televangelism became huge. Like all those televangelists like Jimmy Swaggart and Oral Roberts and the Bakers, I forget their names, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, like they were all bringing in all these millions of dollars preaching on TV. And the message that they were preaching really changed in the 70s. And it was really what we call now prosperity gospel. You know, historically, the biblical view of wealth was that wealth wasn't really good. You know, like there's the verse in the Bible about it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than something about a camel.
A camel passing through the eye of a needle.
The needle, yeah. And so in the 70s, what we saw was these ministers who started preaching the notion that if you are good, God rewards you, and wealth is good, and that in fact, wealth is a measure that in fact you were good and righteous person. And so there began to be this association of goodness and righteousness with richness, which was not always true.
If you like these daily horoscopes and want one personalized for you, same style, 3 minutes, about your chart, you can book a first impression reading at iamastrologyreadings.com for $25 and I'll record it, drop it right here on the feed. Tips is also welcome, even a dollar helps. Full deep dive readings also available. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all at I Am Astrology Readings. My brother's gotta eat too. I appreciate you in advance.